One day the phone rang and a little boy picked up the phone. And so the person on the line says, "May I speak to your parents?" "They're busy," he says. "Oh, is anybody else there?" "The police." "Can I speak to them?" "They're busy." "Is anybody else there?" "The firemen." "Can I speak to them?" "They're busy." So let me get this straight, the person on the other line says. Let me get this straight. Your parents, the police, the firemen, they're all there, but they're busy. What are they doing? "They're looking for me." You know, as I was sort of thinking about this joke, I was surprised that in their busyness, none of them realized someone had actually picked up the phone inside the house. They were so loud and so busy looking for him that they didn't realize that someone picked up the phone. Advent is a time of waiting, looking forward to the coming of Jesus. But sometimes, in our looking for and in our anxious waiting, we become so busy with the festivities that we forget what we're waiting for, what we're looking for. And today, as we look at our Advent reading, we notice three things. One, life is hard, but it's going to be okay. Two, Jesus says, here's how you'll know it's going to be okay. Here's a sign, and he points to the fig tree. And finally, he says, don't be busy, but wait actively. So let me paint you a picture of what's going on in today's gospel reading. It's morning, and in the town square, everyone's working or looking for work. People are trying to earn money. You're looking to be hired, or you're looking for someone for hire for your farm, for your vineyard. It's a busy culture, much like our own. And if you're not doing something, if you're not actively busy, you're not living life. Sounds like the culture we live in. But Jesus is sitting down in the temple. He's not busy. And he's speaking to the people. The world is buzzing around him, but he's telling them, there's something important that I'm doing. The little gospel pericope today is part of a much bigger chapter in Luke, where he talks about the destruction of the temple. And he speaks of the temple being destroyed while sitting in the temple. And in the evening, he would go up to the Mount of Olives, where you could see a panoramic view of the temple, of the marketplace, of the busy life. And again, he would look at the temple and he would say, the temple is going to be destroyed. The center of the busy culture, of the life of the people, will be destroyed. But he ends his teaching and he says, but don't worry. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. The people are thinking, well, how can it be okay? The temple is going to be destroyed. It's hopeless. So let me tell you a bit more about this temple that Jesus is foretelling that is going to be destroyed. It wasn't simply a place of worship. The temple was a place of social and political gathering. Many people would gather in front, around, and even in the inside of the temple. And they would just talk about life. They would talk about politics. They would talk about their kids. It was just a place of gathering. And in the Old Testament reading today, in the time of Jeremiah, Babylon captures Jerusalem when they take over and destroy the temple. The people are left without a God, without an identity, without a social gathering, no reason to even be a nation, because there is no temple. And they can't say. And the people are lost. And they say, we can't do it anymore. We don't have control over our lives. Somebody else does. If God, who is the person who lives in the temple, if that is destroyed, God is no longer amidst us. And we're taken slaves into a different country. We don't have control over our lives. God doesn't have control over our lives. That's what the destruction of the temple means. And when they cry out to God saying, we have no control, we are slaves, we are broken, it is a time of distraught, God speaks through Jeremiah. And one of the most famous passages, God speaks, I have plans for you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And the people ask, how? Our temple is destroyed. And God answers in today's passage, I will raise a righteous branch, someone who will restore you. But you're going to have to wait. You will have to wait. And in the same way, when Jesus speaks on the Mount of Olives and says, the temple is going to be destroyed, the people are saying, how? That can't be. And in their minds, the image of being sent out into exile, going to Babylon, maybe even Egypt, is what they're thinking. What about our identity? I'll have no family. I'll have no friends. I'm going to be a slave. And God says, don't worry, there's hope. And then they ask, well, tell us, give us a sign. What is the sign of hope? And Jesus points to a fig tree and he tells them a parable. Now, remember, this is the Middle East. It's the desert. There are two seasons. There's hot and there's not so hot. Those are the two seasons. And trees don't really wither away. There's no fall, there's no spring. But the fig tree, there's something special about the fig tree. The fig tree actually loses its leaf in this not so hot winter season. And much like Canada, the leaves start coming back during the spring. And the fruits start coming out during the summer. And so Jesus points to the fig tree and says, just like that, when you see these leaves that come out, you'll know that there is hope. There's a new season. And he says, but these are the leaves that are going to come out. These are the signs of a new hope. And I'm going to quote this. He doesn't really paint a hopeful picture. You will see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. People will flee to the mountains. Kings will fight kings. These are signs of hope. These are signs of hope. It will be a time of war. People will faint because of terrors. The sun and the moon will fall. The temple will be destroyed. The heavens will be shaken. And when these things take place, know that your redemption is near. Those are not signs of hope. Those are signs of destruction. But God says, no, those are signs of hope. And here's my favorite part. And you who wait, you who know that I am coming, because you see these signs, you who are sitting with me and know what the temple destruction points to, you who are distinct from those living in this busy world, don't let your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and the anxieties of this life. Be alert. Wait actively. Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. Don't burden yourself with the problems, with the destruction, with the sun, the moons, the wars, the fights. Look up. Look at what God is doing. It's only when you take a moment to sit with me in the Mount of Olives, that you will notice that there is so much more to life than this. More than the temple. More than the busyness of life. If you're anything like me, you don't like waiting. I hate red lights. I hate stop signs. I actually got a ticket for jumping a stop sign. Terrible. I don't like waiting in lines. I don't like waiting. I like to be the guy that wants to see things fall in place. I want to be the person that actually does something. If there's a problem, there's a solution. Why can't I be the solution? Why do I have to wait for say an expert or for God? This is a famous proverb. God helps those who help themselves. Have you heard of it? But really? Does God really help those who help themselves? If we're busy helping ourselves, then we don't let God help us. We become the God of our own lives if we say, I can do it myself. Jesus asks us to be Lord over our lives. And that means sometimes giving up our control over to God. And that's scary. Because that's the stop. That's the wait. That's me saying, okay, if you want control, I should stop doing what I'm doing. We might be going through a difficult time right now. A time when many of us might feel like we're in exile. We have no control. Someone's taken over our lives because of our health concerns, because of our financial concerns, because of our relationship. We no longer have control. And we're asking God, how in the world is it going to be okay? How is it going to be okay? And Emmanuel speaks, let this be a sign to you that when it feels like the world is crumbling around you and falling from under your feet, that when the temples and the busyness of life is crumbling and falling down around you, let this be a sign to you. Redemption is near. Let your struggles be the signs that I have a plan for you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Wait. And in your waiting, I am working. In your losing of control, I will control and direct your life. It is in this Christmas season, one of the busiest seasons. Jesus is coming. 23 days left. 23 days. And in the busy of Christmas shopping, planning who we're going to have dinner with, on which day, which of our kids are going to come. Or in my case, I'm going to have dinner with my parents, Tia's dad's grandparents, Tia's mom's grandparents, Tia's friends, my friends, then our time alone. It's just super busy. And there's a man sitting in the temple, in the church. He's inviting us to the Mount of Olives to actively wait with him. He invites us to move from the busyness of the temple life to the Mount. He invites us to journey with him away from the busy marketplace events, away from the chaos of our lives, because he's got something important to tell us. In just a little while, life as we know it is about to change. Don't be burdened with the troubles of this life. Cast your burdens on him, the Bible says. For the kingdom of God is at hand. For unto you a child is born, and this shall be a sign to you. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And he will change your world. Look up, away from the business of life. Wait, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen.